This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Baba Kama, tape number 4.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Bela Bas Shmuel Grossman, Zichroni Lebrocha, Hashem Yinkom Demer. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Baba Kama towards the end of Perek Shersha Nagach Esapara, and we're at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says, Reuven used a boar, a pit, and covered it. When Shimon arrived, he found it uncovered. He used it and didn't cover it. Then, if it damages, Shimon is chayef. If a person did cover it sufficiently, and an axe fell in anyways, he's putter, since he did what he was supposed to do. Kalim, which fall into a boar, the Bal Habor is putter, since kalim are putter when they fall into a boar. If a man falls in, or even a child falls in and dies, the Bal Habor is putter, since we know shor v'loy adam, chamor v'loy kalim, since by boar the pasuk specifically says shor or chamor, which means shor v'loy adam, chamor v'loy kalim. And the Gemara says, what if a man puts a cover that is strong enough for an axe, but not strong enough for a camel? A camel came, stood on top of it, weakened it, and then an axe came and fell in. Is he chayev or not? So if camels are common in that area, then of course it's a pshia, and he'd be chayev. But if camels are not frequent, he'd be putter. Since he did his job for the axe, how was he supposed to know that a camel would come along? Therefore, he's putter. Nafman Gibel. Rav says the chayev for boar is for havalei, for the vapor. The vapor that exists, the open vapor that exists within the boar, that's what ends up hurting the thing that falls in. Not for chavotai, not for the mass of the ground which the animal falls onto. But Shmuel says you'd be chayev for either. If an axe pushes a different axe into a boar, the Rabbanan say the Bal HaShor is chayev, but the Bal HaBor is potter, since it isn't the Bal HaBor's fault. The axe pushed the other axe in. Rav Nosson says the Bal HaShor pays half, and the Bal HaBor pays the other half. Reuven put a stone next to a boar. An animal tripped on the stone and fell into the boar. It's the same machlokes as we mentioned before between the Rabbanan and Rav Nosson. An axe and a man teamed up to push something into a pit. So if it gets damaged, the Bal HaShor, the Bal HaBor, and the man are all chayev. But for the Dal Devarim, the man is chayev, but others are potter. Dal Devarim meaning Tsar Ripui Shevas and Boishas. If someone gets killed, only the Bal HaShor is chayev, kaifer. If an axe is blind, or an axe is walking at night, and it falls into a pit, the Bal HaBor is chayev. But if it's during the daytime, and the axe has das, and he can see where he's going, then he falls in, into this pit, the Bal HaBor is putter. The Mishnah. Both an axe and any animal are included in the following six dinim. Number one, if it falls into a boar, into a pit, the Bal HaBor is chayev. Number two, these animals are not allowed to go up to Maimed Har Sinai. Number three, if a ganav steals the animal, then the ganav must pay kefil. Number four, one must assist the owner of an animal if the animal is having trouble carrying a load. This is the mitzvah of prika. Number five, kilayim. Two animals are not allowed to cohabitate if they're different types of animals. And finally, animals are not allowed to work on Shabbos. And the Mishnah concludes by saying that chaya v'oif also are included in these halakhas that we mentioned before. But the same way, for example, you're not allowed to cohabitate two animals together, even if they're oxen, the same would apply if they're a chaya or a knife. And the Gemara says, the Isser of animals working on Shabbos, in the first of the Aseres HaDibrois, it says, Avdecha v'amoscha u'vehemtecha, but in the second one it says, Shor v'chamar u'vechol v'hemtecha. The second one comes to include chayas v'oifus. Since it's a klal u'prat u'klal, it only comes to include balei chayim, but nothing else. Other things are allowed to be used on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, why is the first of the Aseres HaDibrois by Kibbut Avaim, does it not say Lema'an Yitavlach? But by the second one, it does say Lema'an Yitavlach. The Gemara answers, since the first set of Luchais were destined to be broken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the word Taiv, Lema'an Yitav, Taiv, to be mentioned on these Luchais, so it wouldn't leave, Chas V'Shalom, wouldn't leave Klal Yisrael when the Luchais were broken. Daf Nun Hei. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, if someone sees the letter Tes in a dream, it's a good sign for him, since the Tes is a simon of Taiv. If a person sees the word Hesped written out in a dream, it's a simon that he will be redeemed. And finally, if someone breeds two species in the ocean, He's over for Kalayim, even though the Pasuk says Behema. But since both Minehu and Minah are written both for Behemas Hayabasha and Degei Hayom, the same lav of Kalayim applies to Degei Hayom, to fish of the sea, as well. We should point out the halacha of Kalayim by animals prohibits the breeding of two different species of animals, as well as prohibiting harnessing of two species to work together. Shmuel classifies a wild goose as a different species than an ordinary goose, and he therefore prohibits breeding the two together under the Isra of Kalayim. In explanation of what Shmuel says, the Gemara proceeds to demonstrate various biological differences between these two types of geese, thus classifying them as different species. Kuntres al-Hadaf brings a machlokes amongst the Achrenim as to whether a wild goose is a kosher bird, no different than an ordinary goose, or whether it is halachically classified as its own species and is non-kosher. The Tzemach Tzedek asserts that although a wild goose indeed is not the same species as an ordinary goose, nevertheless he maintains that it is a kosher bird. To this end, he cites our Gemara's discussion regarding Kalayim as proof. He argues that if indeed a wild goose is non-kosher, why was it necessary for the Gemara to elaborate on the biological differences between a wild goose and an ordinary goose? He says that it's obvious that breeding a kosher species with a non-kosher species constitutes Kalayim, regardless of whether there are any readily apparent distinguishing features. Hence, the Tzemach Tzedek infers from our Gemara that a wild goose is a kosher bird. The Chasam Sefer, however, refutes the Tzemach Tzedek's proof. He argues that perhaps the Gemara was actually uncertain as to whether a wild goose is kosher, and it had no Masaira tradition regarding this matter. However, the Gemara reasoned that if in terms of the laws of Kalayim, a wild goose is to be considered the same species as an ordinary goose, then by extension it would be deemed kosher just as an ordinary goose is known to be kosher. However, since the Gemara concludes that a wild goose is in its own class, the Chasam Sefer rules that a wild goose may not be eaten, since there's no conclusive tradition regarding its permissibility. This marks the end of this perek. Now let us begin the sixth parak, Hakainis. Background. This parak talks about the shmira of animals preventing damages from happening. And the Mishnah says, if someone brings in a sheep to the barn or to the pen, and he locks the door properly, but somehow the animal got out anyway and damaged, he's pater, because he did his job properly. He locked the door, he did it properly, what more can you ask for? Therefore, if the animal gets out anyway, does damage, the person who owns the animal is pater. If, however, he did not lock the door properly, meaning he did not do his job as he was supposed to, and then the animal broke loose and it did damage, then of course he's chayef. If the wall fell in the middle of the night, or robbers broke in and took the wall down, then the animal got out and did damage, he's pater, since he was nal karai, he actually closed it the way he was supposed to, but something happened that was beyond his control. But if the robbers took the animals out and then they did damage, the robbers would be chayef. If a person gives animals to a cheresh shaita the cotton, and damage happened, then he's chayef. If he gave the animals to a shepherd, the shepherd is then responsible. How are damages in these cases paid? We say damage is paid from the best quality, from meitav sadehu, the best quality land. Reb Chaim tells us, Zichrono Lebracha, declares a hakira as to why a person who doesn't close his fence properly is chayef. Is it that the animal is an extension of the owner's hand, so if it does damage, he's chayef? Or is it because he himself had a chiyuv to watch the animal, but he didn't do it properly? That's why he's chayuv. The nafka mina would be if it's a suffix, if he closed the gate properly or not. If you hold that it's considered, the animal is considered an extension of the owner, then he's chayuv. But if you hold that he himself had a chiyuv to close the door, then he's putter, since we can't prove that he did it properly or not. So that's why he would be putter. And the Gemara asks, when we say that if it was fenced properly, it was fenced kiroi, what does that mean? Mar answers, if it can stand in a ruach metsuya, in a typical wind, then we say he did his job properly. But if it falls in a very strong wind, a ruach she'ena metsuya, then he's pater, because he did it correctly in a normal situation where there was a ruach metsuya. This is the shita of Rav Yehuda, who holds even a shmira pechusa, i.e. a ruach metsuya, is enough to be considered kiroi. Rav Meir holds, you need a shmira ma'ula, a full-scale shmira. If you don't have this, the Baal HaBehema will always be chayev if damage is done. The Gemara says there are four things that the Torah explicitly minimize the amount of protection that is needed to guard over them. Number one, a boar, only chayev if a person is negligent. Number two, eish. Number three, shein. And number four, regel. Reb Chaim Brisker declares a hakira regarding bor. When a person digs a bor and then covers it up so it's like it doesn't exist anymore, do we say it's as if the bor does not exist anymore? In other words, he covers it up, that's it, it's as if it was never here. Or is it just that the person fulfilled his obligation, he covered it up, but the bor still exists in the world? Reb Baruch Ber says this hakira is based on a machlekes Rambam and Ravid in Hilchas Niskei Mamon, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Vav. If Reuven digs a bor and Shimon comes and covers it properly, then Shimon comes again and uncovers it. The Rambam says Reuven is chayev, but the Ravid says Reuven can only be chayev if he already found out the bor became uncovered. But before that moment, Shimon would be chayev. The Rambam holds, like the second side, obligation is fulfilled, but it still exists as a bor. That's why when later it's uncovered, Reuven remains chayev. The Ravid, however, holds that covering the bor takes away the shame bor completely. So Reuven can't be chayev if he didn't know the bor was uncovered. There are four acts that are pater midine adam, but chayev midine shamayim. Number one, if one knocks down the restraining wall around a friend's animals. Number two, if one bends a friend's wheat sheaves so they catch fire, and therefore the fire spreads to the rest of the field. Number three, if one hires false witnesses to testify. And finally, if one knows testimony, but he doesn't come forward to help his friend. Nun Vav. Rav Ashi said, fire sometimes can be pater. In the case we're talking about here in the Gemara, he's pater. Since there's tamun, there's hidden objects, and tamun is pater midine adam. But since he was gairim widespread damage on purpose, he's chayev midine shamayim. The Gemara asks, what's the chiddush of not testifying? We have a specific pasuk in Vayikra, Parakei, im lo yagid v'yatzei avoinei. So we know he's chayev to testify. What's the chiddush here that he's supposed to come testifying? Otherwise he's chayev midine shamayim. The Gemara answers, the only time you would think he's chayev is when there are two edim. Here he's an Eid Echad, but still he's very powerful, even as an Eid Echad, because an Eid Echad can be Mechayev a Shvua, which may prevent an outright lie from happening. If he doesn't come forward, then he's Chayev B'din Ishamayim. In Taisvis Divrei HaMaschil Kisui, Taisvis says, even if a person has Kavana to help his friend, but he ends up hurting him, he's Chayev B'din Ishamayim. It's Mashmir from Taisvis that before a person does a Taiva for his friend, he should carefully think about the best way to do it, because sometimes the best Chesed for a friend is to do nothing at all. Gemara says, if one hires Edim to give false Edus, why should he be Chayev? They did the Maisa. And we know, Divrei HaRav, V'Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishaimim, Ein Shliach Kedvar Avera. If you send a Shliach to do an Avera, and the Shliach does an Avera, you're not Chayev, because the person who did the Avera himself should be Chayev. He shouldn't have listened, Divrei HaRav, V'Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishaimim. He should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to you. Gemara answers, since he paid the money, he's Chayev. Because if not for the money, they wouldn't have testified falsely. Therefore, he is chayev, because he was the one that incited them to do it in the first place. If we hold tchilasei b'pshia v'seifei b'aynis pater, that's why he's pater in our Mishnah, since the wall was weak, therefore it's a pshia. But later on it fell, it was an aynis. If robbers remove the animal from their pen and damage is done, they're chayev. What's the chiddush? Our answer is the chiddush is that they didn't take it from the pen, but they just surrounded it and forced it to walk in a certain direction. For this, they're also chayef, i.e. it's considered in their rishus. As Rava says, if one places Reuven's animals in Shimon's field, maimed, and it eats, then he's chayef. Rava says if one shomer gives an item over to a second shomer, and something happens, the first shomer is chayef, since the owner gave it to the first shomer and didn't want anyone else watching it. Shomer, shemasel l'shomer, chayef. Gemara says someone found a lost object and brought it to his house to eventually return it to the owner. Rabbah says, this person is considered like a shomer chinam, which means he's only chayev b'pshia. Why is he like a shomer chinam? He has no hana. He took it into his house to watch it. He's going to eventually return it. Therefore, he's getting no hana. That's why he's called a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yosef says, no, he's more than a shomer chinam. He's considered like a shomer sachar. It's as if someone watches it for pay. If a person watches something for pay and he's paid to do it, he's not only chayev in pshia, he's chayev in geneva v'aveda as well. Why is he considered a shomer sachar? To be a shomer sachar, you have to get some hana, because it's like you're being paid. What's the hana here? He has hana, since while he's watching it, he's not mechuyev to do other mitzvahs. In other words, if an ani comes knocking on the door and says, I need tzedakah, I need bread, then since he's busy doing another mitzvah, i.e. he's in the process of doing the mitzvah of hashavas aveda, therefore he would be pater to give the ani bread, and therefore he's getting the benefit of being pater from giving the ani the bread. Therefore he's considered like a shomer sachar. as we know from the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chaf Hey, ha'isik b'mitzvah pater min ha'mitzvah. Tosfos explains that the p'tur of being isik b'mitzvah is only if at the moment he's doing something mamish for the mitzvah, i.e. he's cleaning the carpet before returning the aved. In other words, he found the carpet, now he's cleaning the carpet so he can give it back to the person who owns it so that it's clean, right? Before he gives it back to him, he wants to clean it off. Then we say he's mamish doing the mitzvah at that moment, then he'll isik b'mitzvah, he's isik and cleaning the carpet, then he's pater from the mitzvah of giving the ani tzedakah. But if the carpet is just sitting in the house and he's not doing anything, he's not being isik specifically in cleaning the carpet, then this p'tur of a isik b'mitzvah, pater min ha'mitzvah, doesn't exist. Because now it's efshul l'kayim shneim. He's not tied up with anything. So if the ani comes knocking on the door, at that moment, he's not doing anything with the carpet. Therefore, we should have to give the ani tzedakah. So this p'tur of a isik b'mitzvah, pater min ha'mitzvah, is only if he's isik. And it's efshul l'kayim shneim. Otherwise, if you wouldn't say this, Taisu says, logically, then whenever a person is sitting in his house, he should never be mechuyev to give tzedakah, because a person has a mezuzah on his door. A person has a mezuzah on his door, he's now being the kayim, the mitzvah of mezuzah, right? Therefore, you could say, isik b'mitzvah, the mezuzah is on the door, pater min ha'mitzvah. And when he comes to the door, you should be pater. And since that logic doesn't really follow properly, and the person we know is mechuyev to give tzedakah, even though there is a mezuzah on his door, therefore we say the only time the p'tur of isik b'mitzvah, pater min ha'mitzvah, is if the person is mamish isik b'mitzvah. At that moment, and if yefshul l'kayim shneim, otherwise he is mechuyev. The Ravid is chaylik on Taisus. Daf Nun Zayin. If a ganav returns an item, he must inform the person he stole it from. But if one returns a lost item, he doesn't need to inform the bailam. The Gemara says a shayel is chayev for all things if something goes wrong, including einis, geneva, and aveda. A seicher, a person who rents, has the same halacha as a shomer sachar, who's paid for watching the item, and he would be mechuyev for geneva va'aveda. Daf Nun Ches. If an animal fell and ate the stalks it fell on, the owner must pay the value of his hana he got. But if it walked to a different grain area, then the owner must pay the full value of the damage. If an animal was walking in a normal manner, and then suddenly it gave birth, and because of the liquid of the birth, it damaged peiros underneath it, so if you hold tchilase b'pshia, b'seife b'aynes chayev, then he would be chayev. But if you hold tchilase b'pshia, b'seife b'aynes pater, maybe he's pater. Since l'maisa, this was an aynes. The birth happened. He couldn't have controlled that. Mara says, take him. Daf Nun Tes. Damages always pay from metav sadehu, from the best of the land. The Chachamim say that bia, which is done b'ratzeh, with the woman's will, is less painful than if it was done without her will. If someone cut down someone else's tree, we assess it according to the actual value of the tree, as was said by the Reish Galusa. Eliezer Zeira was wearing black shoes and stood in the marketplace in order to mourn for the destruction of Yerushalayim. They thought he was a balgaiva, a yoyera, and they threw him into jail. If an animal ate ripe pears, then he must pay it in its present value. The Mishnah. If Reuben put a pile of pears in Shimon's field without Rishus, and Shimon's cow ate it, Shimon is pater. If Shimon's cow was damaged, then Reuven must pay. But if he had Rishus, then Shimon is chayev. Gemara. This Mishnah isn't like Rebbe, who says that the Baal HaSada is only chayev if he gave a very explicit Rishus to leave the grain in his field. The next Mishnah. If one sends a fire, biyad, cheresh, shay to the cotton, he's pater midine adam, because it's a grama, but he's chayev bidine shamayim. If he sends it biyad pikeach, then the pikeach is chayev. If two people walk together, one with a fire and one with wood, the second one is chayef if damage is done. Gemara. Chereshay to the cotton is only putter if you gave him a coal, but if you give him mamish, the flame, then you're chayef. Daf Samach. If one fans a coal, he fans it, and then a wind blows it and turns it into a fire, we say that he's putter. Since the wind was a necessary factor in igniting the coal, it wouldn't have happened on his own. The fire is not entirely attributed to his actions. His actions are only considered a grama, an indirect cause. Therefore, he's pater. The Gemara notes that regarding Shabbos, winnowing grain is considered a violation of the melacha of Shabbos, despite the fact that winnowing requires the assistance of the wind. Ravashi explains that the halachas of Shabbos have different criteria than the laws of Nezikin. Regarding Shabbos, the rule is meleches machsheves asra tira. The significant factor here is that there was intent to perform a melacha, whereas regarding Ezekin, the rule is grama bin Ezekin, pater. One who indirectly causes the damage is pater. Rashi explains that at the beginning, in this case we're talking about a coal, there was a ruach metzuya. It was stam a regular wind, and there's no reason to believe that anything would have turned into a fire. Then suddenly, a ruach she'ena metzuya came. A fire which is very unusual and very strong came. In that kind of a case, he's pater. Since leisolek adaita, he isn't expected to anticipate something like a very, very strong wind. Therefore, that's why he's pater. Reb Chaim Brisker asks on this. We know the halacha is odam muad la'ilam. A person who does damage is always chayav. It doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter whether he was awake or whether he was sleeping or whether it was accidental. If a person does damage, he's always chayav. Therefore, why over here should he be pater? Just because the ruach she'ena metzuya came, he should still be chayav. Odam muad la'ilam. So he answers, he explains, that the din of odam muad la'ilam only applies when a person causes actual damage. But here, we're only talking about creating the mazik. He didn't do the damage. The only thing he did is he created a mazik, i.e. esh, which will eventually cause damage. And since this case was where the big esh was created via a ruach she'ena metzuya, something which is very unusual, we don't say adam muad le'olam. Therefore, he's pater. Rav Baruch Ber brings down that the Nei Deb Yehuda is chaylik on this, and says, for example, if a person digs a bore in Rishus HaRabim, b'shaygig, he's chayav anyway, because adam muad le'olam. So Rav Baruch Ber brings down the name of the Nei Deb Yehuda, that we always say adam muad le'olam, not only when a person actually does the damage himself, but even if a person creates the thing which will eventually cause damage, i.e. a boar or a fire, he's still chayav anyway, because adam muad le'olam. The Mishnah. If a person sets a fire, and it consumes wood, stones, or earth, he's chayav, since we learn from the Pasuk in Shmais, Perakof Beis, ki seitze eitru matza kaitzim, v'nechal gadish ayakama, shalem yishalem hamavir es haba'era. He always has to pay. The Gemara. The Mishnah needs to be mechadish all three cases of damage, wood, stones, and earth, since each one teaches us a chiddush. For example, I would think you're only chayev if your fire destroys a field, because it's a hafsid meruba. But if you just destroy thorns, you'd be pater. Kamashmalan, even on thorns, you're chayev. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni said, bad things only come to the world so as long as there are rishayim in the world. But when destruction finally begins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins with the tzaddikim first. As the Pasuk says, ki seitze eish umatza kaitzim. The eish goes out, and it finds thorns. It only goes out if there are kaitzim, if there are rishayim in the world. Otherwise, the eish never goes out in the first place. And the destruction hits the tzaddikim first, as we see from the Pasuk benachal gadish. Gadish refers to tzaddikim. Just like a gadish, a field makes peiros, so too tzaddikim make peiros via the mitzvahs they do. Nechal is lashon avar. It already ate the tzaddikim. That's how you know that since it already ate the tzaddikim end up being eaten first. Also, once the malach hamavis has rishus to destroy, he doesn't differentiate between tzaddikim and rishayim. As we see from Makkos Becharis, even the Jews were told not to leave their homes during the time the malach hamavis was going around by the mitzri. Rabbi Yosef questioned this and asked, how is it possible HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish the tzaddikim first, the tzaddikim? That Rishayim should be punished first. Abaye says, this isn't bad for the tzaddikim, quite to the contrary. The reason that the tzaddikim are punished first is because it's good for them, so they won't have to witness all the evil which is destined to come to the world later on. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says, the Olam yikanes adam b'chitayv, the yetzei b'chitayv. A person should enter a town during the day and leave the town during the day, not at night, because it's sakana. It's sakana because the shedim and robbers are outside on the roads, and it's very dangerous, or because there are obstacles on the road that may be hard to see. Rabbeinu Tam says, but this is only in a strange place. In your own town, where you know where all the potholes and the winding roads are, then you are allowed to travel at night. The Gemara says, if there is a plague or an epidemic in a town, you should stay indoors, but if you must walk outside, don't walk in the middle of the road, since that's where the Malach HaMavis goes. If there's a famine in a city, you should get out of the town. Versus, a person shouldn't go alone into a shul, since the Malach HaMavis keeps his kelim there. If, however, there are children learning there, or if there's a minyan davening, then you'll be protected. If the dogs in a city are crying, it's a siman that the Malach HaMavis is arriving. If they're laughing, it's a siman Eliyahu Anavi is arriving. Even though it's our fault that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as we know because of Sinas Chinam and so on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the blame for it anyway, and the same way the Beis HaMikdash was devoured via fire, it will be rebuilt via fire. The Parish Eina Yitzchak asks, what's the point of rebuilding with fire? Why fire? Why should the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt with fire? Why couldn't it simply be rebuilt the way anything is rebuilt? He answers, fire is synonymous with Midas HaDin. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying he'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with fire, Hashem promises he'll rebuild it even with the Haskama of Midas HaDin. And from the Pasuk here, the Pasuk we bring down in Zechariah, we learn that we paskin eshay mishum chitzav, which is the Gemara we had on Daf Chaf Beis, that we hold that a fire is eshay mishum chitzav or eshay mishum amayne, and here we learn we say eshay mishum chitzav. And finally, by David HaMelech, there was a maisa that people burned down some silos. So there was a shaila if burning of tamun, of hidden objects, is considered chayev or potter. Daf Samach Aleph. The Bezdin of Shmuel paskin, that if someone gives himself over to be put to death for the sake of Torah, it's not good. And we don't repeat over the halachas that he said in his name. Mishnah. Someone lit a fire, and it went over a wall which was more than four amos tall, or over a Rishus HaRabim, which is more than 16 amos wide, or over a river, the Baal Eish is Pater. Since this is called an Inus, it traveled 16 amos across a Rishus HaRabim, he couldn't have anticipated that. Therefore, it's considered an Inus, and therefore he's Pater. Gemara. Some say, you're Pater even from 3.5 amos, regarding a wall. Rav says, you're only putter on fire over a river if it's mamish a river. Shmuel says, you're putter even if you light a fire and it goes over an irrigation ditch. This is also considered a inus, and therefore you're putter. Mishnah, if one lights a fire in his own land, how far must the fire travel so we can consider the Baal HaEsh putter? Lozer ben Azariah says, we look at him as being in the middle of a base kor. So if the fire travels more than a half of a kor, he's putter. Rabbi Lozer says, if it travels 16 amos, then he's pater, the same halacha as we said by Rosh Sarabu. Rabbi Akiva says, 50 amos. Rabbi Shimon says, the one who lights pays no matter how far the fire travels. Gemara. When a person has an oven in his house, he should be sure he has some plaster in the ceiling to protect the upstairs neighbor from damage. And when Rabbi Shimon says that he's chayev, we don't mean that he's always chayev, but rather hakol lefi goiva hadleika. It all depends on the specifics of the fire, and the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Mishnah. If one lights a pile of grain of his friend, and there were dishes inside, sort of hidden within the pile of grain, Reb Yehuda says you must pay for these also. Even though it's tamun, and even though they were hidden, you're still chayev. The chachamim say you only have to pay for the wheat, since the dishes that are hidden inside are tamun, they're hidden. If an eved was next to the silo, and a goat was tied to it, and they both die, on the goat you're chayev to pay. But on the Eved, you're Potter, since the Eved should have run away. If, however, the Eved was tied to the silo, then you're Chayev Misa for the Eved, but you're Potter on the goat, due to Kamle Vidarabamine. You're only Chayev for the bigger punishment. Since you're once Mechuyev Misa for killing the Eved, you're Potter for the goat. But the Chamim are Maida to Rabbi Yehuda, that if you burn down a house, you're Chayev for all the items in the house. Aye, they're Taman, they're hidden in the house. But since it's a derech for people to put all kinds of things in their house, if you burn down the house, you're chayav for everything in the house. Gemara. The machlokes by tamun is when you light the fire in your own property, and it spreads to your friend's property. Rabbi Yehuda says, chayav niske tamun ba'esh, and the chachamim say, pater. Daf samach beis. Rabbi Yehuda is made to the chachamim that if Reuven gave permission to Shimon to store grain, and he also hid kalim, the owner only must pay for the grain, not for the kalim, which were hidden, which were tamun. If damages were done indirectly, it's a machlekes if one must pay, because this is called dina degarmi. For example, if Reuven throws the chest of Shimon in a river, and Shimon says, I had $5,000 in it, does Reuven have to pay the full amount or just part? Teiku. And the Gemara asks, what is the difference between a gazlan and a chamson? Both are possible edus. Gemara says, a gazlan steals, and a chamson does bad things. For example, he tricks a child. The next Mishnah. A spark flew out from the blacksmith's hammer and did damage. The blacksmith is chayev. A camel laden with flax in Rishus HaRabim entered a store, and the flax caught fire with a candle. The Baal HaGomel is chayev. But if the storekeeper put the candle outside, the Baal HaChanus is chayev. If, however, it was a Ner Chanukah, then he's potter, because there's a mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa. This is the only place in the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, in any of the Mishnayos, that the word Chanukah is found. There are Gemaras where Chanukah is discussed. The main Gemara is the Gemara of Mai Chanukah, which is in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. But as far as the Shisha Sidre Mishnah is concerned, this is the only place where Chanukah is mentioned anywhere. Gemara. We see that one must place Chanukah candles under 10 Tvachim, not higher. Reb Nachman said, if you place Chanukah candles over 20 Amos, you're not mekayim the mitzvah, just like schach of a sukkah, which can't be higher than 20 amos, since people will not be able to see it. The same is true with Chanukah candles. This marks the end of this parak.